I hope you've had a good day. I have. We're above ground in spite of our aches and pains. Amen. Able to worship the Lord. Live by faith through another day. And know God as a real God. Amen. I appreciate the singing. What a blessing. And the singing throughout the week. I praise the Lord for it. Glad that you're here tonight in the tabernacle. And I know you'd like to see it cram-packed full. We all would. It's one of the signs of the times, though. Our Lord said it'd be this way, so it shouldn't shock us to death. But aren't you glad you're here? Amen. Aren't you glad you're saved by God's grace? How wonderful and how glorious that is. It's good to have some folks here tonight that I have acquaintance with several of them. One of our members had to leave Cleveland County due to a work situation, and he lives at Durham, and he and his wife have come down tonight, and she's brought some of her family, and he's got some of his family here that drove up from Charlotte to be with us. And I praise the Lord for that, don't you? Amen. I thank the Lord for that. Good to have them in the service here this evening. You pray for us, Lord willing, unless something's changed this afternoon. I plan tomorrow morning to go back to Cleveland County and bring my wife down. She loves to go with me when she can, and I thank the Lord for my wife. He put us together many years ago, and I keep her around. She's a wonderful cook. Amen. She's a wonderful cook. No, I love her to death, and I hope to bring her down tomorrow so she can be with us. You pray for us on the road. It's about 2 hours there and 2 hours back. And pray that the Lord would just take care of us. John chapter 21, we're reaching way back in the archives tonight. I've been preaching over 40 years, and this is one of the messages that the Lord gave me way, way, way back young. I said that one night introducing Wade Huntley, and he said, "Now you can stop there with the ways." But way back yonder, John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, "I go a-fishing." They say unto him, "We also go with thee." They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, "Children, have ye any meat?" They answered him, "No." And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, "Bring of the fish which ye have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, "Come and dine." And none of the disciples durst ask him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. May God add his blessings to the reading of this portion of his word. I want to speak to you tonight about a divine manifestation. Now, there were many infallible proofs of our Lord's resurrection. Christ's life and character before his death let us in on the fact that he had to rise again. And then again, the disappearance of our Lord's body. If friends took it, word would have leaked out under persecution. If enemies had taken it, they would have produced it to hush Christianity. But the fact is, he rose from the grave. The blood-stained testimony of many witnesses also adds to that fact. And again, the church still exists today as a fact, and it rests upon the foundation of Christ's resurrection. Just the very fact that there's a church, a living church on this earth, the pillar and the ground of truth, that in itself is a proof that Jesus rose from the grave. And then the resurrection is attested by Christian experience. You ask me how, I know he lives. He lives within my heart. And that's a divine reality. No one can take that away from us. The devil might say it's not so. And other people might say that's just something you weak-minded people have put together for a little encouragement. Well, if that's the case, leave us weak. But I told you the other night, we're not the weak-minded ones. He gave us a sound mind. And we rejoice in that and praise God for it and for the fact of Christian experience. You ask me to explain every way that I know that he lives in me, and I cannot do that. That's something you have to experience. But if you have experienced the saving grace of God, you know that he lives in your heart. You know that he got up on the third day. And that he moved in one day when he saved your soul. That is a divine reality. Now, this point of Christian experience is what I want to look at tonight. Jesus manifested himself, and what an experience it was for these disciples. Just a couple things I'll give to you. First of all, the text gives us insight concerning Christ's manifestation. I want you to focus on verse 1 for just a few minutes. There the Bible says, he showed himself. Now there's something to that, because his body after the resurrection was only visible by a distinct act of his will. They no longer saw Jesus as before, but he appeared unto them. After the resurrection, you didn't just go to the house where he was staying and go in and see Jesus. No, he appeared unto them. Now this teaches men that he was to be recognized not by flesh, but by spirit, not by sight, but by faith. That's how we live today. That's why the world says we're crazy. They say, you believe in a God you haven't seen. I say more than that, we love one that we haven't seen. Oh yes, but I'm glad that he makes himself known to us, aren't you? Listen, notice first of all the grace in this manifestation, because he tells us here that it was grace in that he manifested himself at all. He didn't have to do that. No. And he doesn't have to do it today. And certainly if we came here tonight anyway at all, expecting because of our merit that the Lord would show up and bless us and help us, then we're going to miss out on it. I'm not worthy of it. No. I never have been worthy of it. I'm just glad that he saved my old stinking saving soul. And in His grace, every now and then, He makes Himself known. I'll tell you something else. When the Holy Ghost gets real in your heart and in your life, the first thing you realize, I didn't deserve this. I cannot earn this. I didn't merit this. It's the divine grace of God. When you have a good service on Sunday morning down at the house of God, just to remember, thank God for grace. He doesn't have to drop in on us. He doesn't have to move our soul. But I'm glad, thank God, that He loves us. And by His divine grace, because Jesus paid it all, at the cross of Calvary, He makes Himself known every now and then to our heart. How wonderful that is. So it was grace in that He manifested Himself at all. And then it was grace in that He manifested Himself again. Notice that word there. After these things, Jesus showed Himself again. Now, it had been something wonderful if the Lord just came your way and saved your soul and said, I'll take you to heaven. I'll be back to see you one of these days. But I'm glad that He does much more than that. And I want to tell you something. Not one time, not 10 times, and not 100 times, but again and again and again and again, the Lord Jesus Christ makes Himself real by the Holy Ghost unto our hearts and unto our lives. Aren't you glad? Sometimes I think God blesses me so that He couldn't do anything like that again. But I'm glad He's able to move things up a notch. I'm glad that He comes my way again every now and then. And I'm glad that in these last days, He hasn't forgotten us. No, no, no. Thanks be unto God. He can get real in the motel room. He can get real down at the camp meeting. He can get real while you're riding the lawnmower again and again and again. Aren't you glad that God's grace is sufficient for Him to manifest Himself? Amen. How wonderful that is. And I look forward to tomorrow. If Jesus doesn't come, and brother, that will be a manifestation. It'd be all right if He wants to come. But I want to tell you something. If He doesn't come and then tomorrow we live, I'm looking forward for something from God. Oh, you say, preacher, is it that real to you? It's surreal. I don't know what to do with it right now. I'll tell you that. I'm glad that He manifests Himself and that there's grace in this manifestation. But I want you to notice also the sovereignty in this manifestation. Don't let that word scare you. It's a good word. God is a sovereign God. There is no other kind of God. If He's God, He's sovereign. And that simply means He can do as He pleases. Amen. I know men twist that word and contort it and everything else, and I try to mess up people's mind and their faith and everything else. But you just remember that God is a sovereign God. He sits on the throne of this universe, and He does as it pleases Him, and the judge of this earth always will do right. You don't have to wonder or worry about that. But look at the sovereignty here. One of the things is He appears when He wants to. He appears when He wants to, just like the text. He doesn't always wait until everything is right and all the conditions are fulfilled. I've had preachers to say, well, if we'll just meet all the conditions. I thought, why in the world would you need revival if you could meet all the conditions? We know that by Christian experience. How many times have you husbands and wives ever had a little squabble on Sunday morning? Boy, the devil's good at getting them started on Sunday morning, isn't it? He said, how'd you know that, preacher? I'm married too. And years ago, I used to think, and it might not have been that. It might have been some other aggravating factor. I just got you all sort of in the wrong spirit. You were trying to cook Sunday dinner that morning before you went to church, and the beans burned, and oh, you was in a rush, and the baby was crying, and it just got your spirit all in a frazzle. And the thought way back in your mind is, I'm not going to get anything today. How many times have you gone like that? Oh, with an old cold heart. And you say, boy, I'll not get blessed today. But you sit there in the service and the choir singing and way back yonder in the back room of your soul, some little something begins to stir. And you say, well, I know it couldn't be God after the morning like I had. But it begins to grow and it crawls out of that back room into the forefront of your heart. And you say, oh, I don't understand this. I don't
understand this. Listen, God can bless when God wants to bless. I praise his name for that and glorify him. He doesn't have to ask my permission about anything. He's a sovereign God. God does as he pleases, and he blesses when he wants to. Oh, just remember that. That'll help you on down the road. You see, it seems they weren't expecting him. And a lot of times we're not expecting him. Our faith is so feeble, but he shows up anyway. And notice those words in that first verse. They say, after these things, he appeared again. We're talking about he appears when he wants to. And it says, after these things. What things are they talking about? Well, if you back up a chapter, you'll find there a chapter revealing failure in the disciples, progressing to triumph. You'll find there a chapter of Christ revealing himself to his own. And you talk about a glorious time in chapter number 20, making himself known after he had died and was buried. And now he has risen and he makes himself known. I want to tell you something, friend. You think about that. We think after such a blessing last night, God couldn't do that again. But he said after these things. You say, boy, God really blessed that Sunday morning. I'm telling you, but God couldn't do that. Oh, yes. He's the God of Sunday night. He's the God of Wednesday night. And after these things, God can even do greater things. Aren't you glad? He appears when he wants to. Oh, think of that. But then he appears however he wants to. You notice that verse says, on this wise, or in this fashion, he appeared unto them. Now let this sink in, what I'm about to say. I told you last night, we're living in a narrow-minded Christian Christian atmosphere in our day. And we narrow things down and don't get near the meaning God wants us to have. So listen, his manifestations will always be for our best and for his glory. But it'll be however he wants to. It might bring rebuke, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, exhortation and so on. But he knows the manner in which we as his people need to see him. We try to formulate this thing. We think that, and praise God, I am not preaching one thing against what happened a little while ago. I told you, and I think you know enough about my preaching now to know that I enjoy seeing the saints of God praise him. But I want to tell you, we've narrowed it down in our day, and we think that's the only way that God can manifest himself. Listen, I was raised up in a day when the man of God got up with the power of God on him and preach against sin, and God so manifest himself, make you want to crawl under the bench. But it was still God. And sometimes God has spoken to my heart and said, son, you're wrong. You're wrong on this. And brother, I knew it was God. Don't rule it out. He's a sovereign God. God can manifest himself however he will. I've gone to church on Sunday morning, got up and did the best I could do. Boy, I felt so dead. And I think, boy, God's not doing anything today. Give an invitation and some old lost soul come weeping down the aisle to get saved by God's grace. He taught me a long time ago that he is sovereign and that he can appear however he wants to. Let's just be open to that. When you go to church on Sunday morning and your pastor gets up and preaches and you don't especially feel a touch in your own soul, I don't think God isn't doing something. He's all the time doing something. And he manifests himself to people however he wants to. But then I'll tell you something else. He appears to whom he desires. Listen. Don't think because some folks are shouting that you have to shout. It's getting awful quiet in here. I must have touched a nerve somewhere along that. I'm old enough now to where I don't feel obligated to do as other people do just because they do it. You say, that's not much camp meeting preacher, but it's the Bible. It's the Bible anyway. Oh, my friend, he appears to whom he wants to. And if you hang around a while, he'll ring your bell sooner or later, that's for sure. Think about these men that he appeared to. All of them were failures in themselves, and possibly even on this occasion. Some preachers say they shouldn't have gone fishing. That might be right. If they were not supposed to go, Jesus did tell them to wait on him over in Galilee. I asked some Baptist preachers, and fishing is waiting on him. Amen. A lot of preachers out on the boat on Friday waiting on a message, waiting on the Lord. But I don't know if these fellows, it appears to me that they might have decided to go on their way, that Jesus wasn't coming to Galilee. But I want to tell you, we're failures in ourselves. And we know that just as undeserving as we can be. But I'm glad that God still loves sinners, aren't you? I'm glad he still comes our way. But then I notice also that some were named and some were unnamed. He showed himself Simon Peter and Thomas and Nathanael and the sons of Zebedee and two other disciples. Doesn't tell us who that was, and I'm glad it doesn't, because that tells me, my friend, that you don't have to be in the spotlight for God to bless you. You don't have to be in a pulpit somewhere or another. You don't have to be a missionary on the foreign soil. You don't have to be a deacon down at the church. You may be scrooched back in some far corner of the assembly. I want to tell you, if you're God's child, open your heart, get your bucket out, because God can pour the honey out for you just the same as he can anybody else. God blesses who he wants to bless. Sometimes we preachers get to talking about a place, you know, that's a church that's got out of the will of God or done the preacher wrong or something or another, and you know, we say, well, God can't ever do anything over there. We say a mouthful when we say that. I know that some people can hinder and so grieve the Spirit that God leaves them to themselves. I understand that. I know that. But I'm glad that God looks down and sees all of our weaknesses and all of our wrongs and still blesses whoever he wants to bless. Don't rule yourself out, dear mother. I know something about the pressures you're going through. I know those children, and they occupy so much of your time. I understand that. And God understands that too. But just keep your eyes on him. And one of these days when you're vacuuming out that back room, the Holy Ghost will get real to you and manifest that your Lord's alive and that he'll whisper in your heart that he loves you. Oh, what a blessing that'll be. God is concerned about you. God hasn't forgotten about you. I don't know what the trials are tonight. And it might be that for some reason, through physical health or disturbing problems in the family, that there seems like a dark cloud has rolled in over your soul. Let me tell you something. He's still God. He's still there above those clouds. And one day he'll roll the clouds back and the sun will shine through again. And God will lift you up. And God will stir your soul and let you know that he's alive. I bless his name for that. Oh, he appears to whom he desires. He appears to the failures. He appears to the unknown. But one thing they all had in common, they all loved the Lord. Can you say that tonight? That's what makes the difference. I believe if you can say that, that'll take care of a lot of things in your life eventually that shouldn't be there. You just keep on loving him. The Bible says, Jesus himself said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. That's what he grounded it on. Do you love him tonight? You may be a nobody, but the question is, do you love him? Do you love him? Does your love sanctify you? Does your love move you toward him? Listen, if that's the case, he'll manifest himself unto you. I found out as a little boy, God saved me when I was 10. And now you're not going to believe this, but God knows I'm telling the truth because it's still so real in my mind. I hadn't been saved but just a few days. Let me back off that. A few months. I got saved at one summer, and it was early the next spring or summer. And I was right at 11 years old, and my daddy, you know, you men remember those tires that used to have the tubes in them. Some of you young people don't remember that. And you men that remember it, remember the monkey grip patching. You didn't run down the store and buy a new inner tube. If you were raised like we were poor. And daddy would have a flat tire. And he didn't have much in the way of equipment. And so he'd lay that flat tire down out in the yard. It was hard packed. And he'd run his car up on that and break it loose from the rim. And he'd leave that there for me to fix. You say an 11-year-old boy? Oh, yeah. He'd leave it there for me to fix. And I'd take those two tar tools and pull that thing up and pull the tube out of it and pump it up with a hand pump and find the hole. And then I'd scrape that thing right good, that lid on that monkey grip patchy. And then, you know, you put your stuff on there and you light a match to it. Some of you fellas remember that. And let it burn a little bit, let it set. And then you'd put that patch, peel it back, put that patch on there. And you'd take some kind of Coke bottle or something other, and you'd press it, and you'd press it, and you'd press it, and you'd press it. Get the nail out of the tire, whatever it was, stick that tube back in there. And then you had to go at it again with that hand pump. Man, it took forever for that thing to seal. And you're 11-year-old boy, and that thing just about pushing you back up. You doing the best you could. Well, I got the tire fixed, but I hadn't pumped it up. And my daddy got home about 5 o'clock, and I got to running and playing. I had my work done, had the tire fixed, almost. And I got to running and playing, and that little thing, you know, you take your valve stem out with, and it was in my pocket, and I hadn't put the valve stem back in. It was in my shirt pocket. I got to running and run down the path toward where we kept our hogs. And I'd run back and forth several times. Lo and behold, I happened to think, it's about time for daddy. And I wasn't done. You say, well, why is that a problem? You'd have known if you was raised like I was raised. My daddy didn't tell you twice. He told you one time, that's it. And I knew he was about to jerk my hide off. And I got to running, and I felt up there. I said, I'll run up there and pump it up. And I felt that valve stem remover, and the valve stem was gone. I said, oh, Lord. And I went into a panic. I looked just a little bit, and I went into a panic. And I was crying because I didn't like his whippings at all. But I knew I deserved it. But I was a crying and honest before the Lord. Our driveway was as bare. There was no gravel, just dirt, packed dirt. And I said, well, the only place I've been running is back and forth up this path and across the driveway. And I looked. I know I must have looked 10 or 20 times with my eyes the best I could the very way I'd run. And I couldn't find it. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, you're saved now. Why don't you pray? I went off down toward the hog pen and I said, Lord, daddy's going to tear me up. And I deserve it. Well, Lord, would you please help me to find that as that little old 10-year-old boy. And the Lord Jesus, when I went back up and crossed that bare driveway right there in the middle of it where I'd looked 20 times, they both lay. I learned a long time ago that God, you don't have to have your name in the headlines. No, no, no. God will manifest himself unto your heart and bless your soul and answer your prayers. But there's a second thing. The second thing the text shows is the influence of Christ's manifestation. What an effect his manifesting of himself had on those and will have on those who receive it. Now, there are a lot of things, but just let me pick up two or three out of the chapter and we'll move on. First of all, when he manifested himself, he moved them to admit their failure. And friend, before abundant supply will ever come, we're going to have to admit our emptiness. He'll make you conscious of your emptiness. You say, how does he do that? He'll let you run a while on empty. He'll let you go a while without him blessing or manifesting himself unto you. And oh, brother, you'll come to that place where you say, God, I don't have a thing. Lord, I don't have a thing. How would you move on my heart? How would you bless me again? Oh, friend, when God is around, it makes us admit our failures. Before strength comes, how we are made aware of our weakness. And that's what his manifestation does. Children, have you any meat? God knows if he asks us as pastors tonight, we know we can't lie to him. We know we can't put up a false front to him. We know we can't exaggerate to him. We just have to say a lot of times, no, Lord. The Holy Ghost comes and says, listen, haven't anybody saved at your church? And some, a lot of times, for stretches of time, we have to say, no, Lord. No, we're empty. We're just failures in and of ourselves. But that's a good thing to admit, because secondly, he shows them the difference between success and failure is his presence. They had fished all night, hadn't caught a thing. But when Christ showed up on the scene, what a difference that made in that hour. That makes all the difference in the world. Those lost sinners come into our midst, into our churches. Oh, you know what they need? They need a divine manifestation. And I hope there's some here tonight. Well, I hope you're all saved. But if you're not saved, I'm glad you were here tonight. I'm glad you were here. You say those people are acting awful strangely. Well, they're saved. They're saved by God's grace. You can't blame them. They were where you're at one day without hope in this world. They were dying in sin and on the road to an eternal hell. But God, in mercy, in grace, not because they deserved it, but he washed them in his blood and saved their soul. And they sit here tonight and their name is written down over in heaven. Believe it or not, it's there. Their Lord is there by his immediate presence, but he also dwells in their heart by the Holy Spirit, and he's just letting them know a while ago that he was still aware they're here, that he still loved them and cared for them. That's what it's all about. But I'm telling you tonight, this thing of success and failure, it depends upon the presence of the Lord. How we need him to manifest himself. Oh, I can remember growing up when God was so real. I told you last night, Brother Buren Hastings was my pastor. But at the same time, it wasn't so much Buren Hastings as the fact that Buren Hastings would let the Holy Ghost use him. You talk about a powerful place to be. You didn't want to go there with sin in your heart. Oh, you'd run from that and hide from that the best you could. But I want to tell you something, I've known it for a fact. People be driving down the road, it's right on 321 Highway outside of Lenore, and people be driving 321 going to the mountain on vacation, total strangers, and have to pull aside that Sunday morning at Calvary Baptist Church and come in and get saved. You say, that's unreal. No, that's God. I've seen it happen more than one time. I've seen grown men. I'm not talking about young men either. Grown men. The power of the Holy Ghost was so strong. The conviction was so real. I've seen them get up from the back of the church and literally run like an Atlanta Brave fella trying to make it to first base on a bunt. I mean, brother, they were ready for business. That's what we need in our day. That divine manifestation. We're trying to be a success, but there's no trying when God's around. It's already a success when he manifests his presence. How we need that. And then another thing, they learned that the way to success was following his word. He says, boys, you're going about it all wrong. I'm sure that through the night they'd probably cast that net everywhere. But at the time, it wasn't right. And it wasn't so much that they weren't doing the proper thing. These fellas knew how to fish. But he said, boys, cast it over on the right side. Over on the right side. Now, that's very simple, isn't it? But how many times have you and I caught ourselves doing it wrong, thinking we were right? Thinking we knew how to do it. But the Lord shows us through manifesting himself that we the way to success is following his word. I'll tell you folks today and churches today are trying everything. And a lot of it is just as deceptive as it can be. Friends, you get them in a certain way, you're going to have to keep them there that way. And you might get them in that way. But that doesn't prove anything. No. We don't just want them in the church. We want them saved. How we want them regenerated, having the power of God and indwelt by the Holy Ghost. What a difference that'll make. And the Lord can show us how to do that. This younger generation coming up needs to see the manifestation of God. Amen. And we can't manufacture it. God has to do it. And if nothing else, for the sake of our young people that haven't been exposed to that, or at least not very much like we were, we ought to be begging God to make himself known. When we assemble together on Sunday morning, we ought to be begging God to move in his divine power and let his glory settle in a little while. Our young people need that. I want to tell you something. Besides the fact that God saved me, the fact that he manifested his glory and his power. Now, I mentioned some of those old men of God, Dr. Percy Ray, Brother Blackburn, W.A. Costner. I could go on down the line, those men of God that stood before me, and Daddy would carry us around to the various camp meetings, and Buren would have them in to preach at Calvary Baptist Church, and brother, the glory of God was real. You know, that's what keeps me going today. I rest a whole lot on that back yonder. I'm glad that God's just as real today. I'm not saying live on the past, but I do thank God for my heritage. I'm glad I was around when the cloud came down, and God poured out his spirit in a wonderful way and charged our souls for his glory and for his praise. I'm telling you, if any man could preach the glory down, Arthur Blackburn could do it. I know God did it through him, but he had to be usable. Lord have mercy. Men all down through my life, and I've sat under those men and been exposed to that glory. And let me tell you a little secret tonight. Nothing else will really fully satisfy. I live for that. And if God isn't going to do it in the church, he'll do it in the back room somewhere. Amen. Had a wonderful meeting, and I give God every bit of the glory. He told me this morning what I said last night. He said, you didn't give me the glory for it, so I'm giving him the glory ahead tonight. But he has been surreal in that motel room this week. I'm telling you, brother, it's just been like dining all week long. I bless the name of the Lord. Just shut up in the motel. You say you didn't go shopping. No, I had something better than shopping. Oh, you didn't go to the store. One morning I had to have something. I ran down to Dollar General and back just as quick as I could. I was afraid I was going to miss something. Oh, my friend, I've got to have it, got to have it, got to have it. Oh, I was born in that. Live for that. That's what heaven's going to be all about, the glory of God and one continual manifestation of that glory. Some of you sitting here know exactly what I'm talking about. Listen, listen to me. They learned the difference between success and failure. And then his manifest presence draws out reverence for him. Boy, we need that in our day, don't we? Walk in a lot of churches and there's very little reverence for God anymore. We need it. We need it. But I'm going to tell you, God can get so real that people are afraid to do something that's not right. Amen. I've seen God so real the babies didn't even cry. Oh, my friend, you think about that. And you talk about provoking reverence. I mean, we'll act right. People don't care a bit to argue in church anymore. I heard about some folks the other day had a split over at a church beyond us, other side of Kayser, and somebody said some of them were cussing one another in church. You'd have died in your tracks, brother, if you'd tried to pull that mess in some of those churches where the power of God used to be real. You come in and everything about you said God's a holy God. The way you talk, the way you walk, the way you dress, the way you smelled, and everything else said, God's a great God, a glorious God, and it bowed your heart in reverence before him. How we need his manifest presence today. Oh, to bring us back to that. And then something else. In his presence, men find a table spread. Can you imagine these men? They were tired, they were hungry, backslidden, heartbroken, toiled all night long and hadn't caught a thing. What about that? And here's Jesus standing on the shore, calls out to them, and eventually they recognize who it is and they come to him. And you did notice as we read these verses that here was a fire ready to warm them. They didn't build it. And here was food, some fish on the fire for them to eat, and they didn't catch them. Read the text. You say, well, you know, was the Lord fishing too? I don't know. He could have made them. Or he could have looked at the water and said, hop up here, boys. My friends here are hungry. Hey, that's not out of the question at all. He's a great God. All I know is that when they came tired and hungry and heartbroken and down and out and backslid and everything else, there was a fire there and food on the fire. Aren't you glad for those Sunday mornings? Brother, when that old soul was cold within you, or you were backslidden and heartbroken or down and out or bereaved and unhappy, but aren't you glad you came to the house of God that day and the fire was already lit? The preacher didn't have to light it. The choir didn't have to fan it, and the food was already in the pan, and the Holy Ghost said, come on, come on, come and dine, come and dine, and come and dine. Blessed be God. I'm a feeling that now. A honor to His name, and glory be unto Him that knows the very needs of my heart and knows how to feed my soul. He knows when you're hungry. Aren't you glad? He knows when you're cold. He knows when you need the fire. He knows when you need to be fed. And in His grace, remember it's His grace, He has everything ready. Boy, it's good to go to camp meeting and God has everything prepared. And He knows His children in number are lessening. And He knows that our churches now are cold. He knows all that. But He gets a bunch of these boys down here and Randolph and Guilford County and around and says, boys, get together and have a camp meeting. My children need to be fed. You get it together and I'll build the fire. I'll build the fire and I cook the fish. You tell them to come and dine. Amen. That's exactly what my soul's doing this week. I don't know about you. I know my preaching isn't much, but it sure fed me of being here. And I bless His name, and I praise Him for that. And then in His manifest presence, souls are searched for reality. He said, lovest thou me? Now, you can expect that every now and then at the house of God. The Holy Ghost will get on you at times, and He'll say, do you really love me? Do you really love the Lord? And that's good for us, my friend. Because sometimes we act like and think like we don't love the Lord. Sometimes we worship like we don't really love the Lord. And He'll draw us aside somewhere or another and say, do you really love me? And brother, it makes us search and makes us cry and gets us humble before God so He can bless us and use us. But then in His manifest presence, people often hear His call to service. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Amen. Listen, the fields are white in the harvest. We need the laborers. I believe our churches get lit up right good. God go to call in even more young men. Amen. He wants men out there, and He wants young men out there that not only know their Bible, that not only have their doctrine correct, He wants men out there who have had their souls bathed in His presence. Because that does make all the difference in the world. Because if that man's heart has never been stirred, you can be sure he's not going to stir any hearts. Needs God on him, in other words. There's one final thing, and you've borne with me. Let me just give you this in a hurry. The text affords us instruction concerning the manifestation of Christ. Verse number 14 I read to you, it said, "Now this is now the third time that Jesus showed Himself to His disciples after that He was risen from the dead." Now that's unique. But the Holy Ghost, anything He has put in this Bible, He put there for a reason. Why is it so important that this was the third time? And I got to studying about that and thinking about that. Well, as men have studied the Bible, the number three came to carry the thought of the divine. Now, we use the word every way today. Actually, it's a word that relates to God. But we talk about Hershey chocolate being divine, you know. And I know what you mean when you say that. But divine, the word divine actually means God is in it. And I'm not saying that He wasn't in those other two post-resurrection appearances, because He was. But just taking the word in itself, how do we know when God is in something? How do you know? How do we know if God's in the camp meeting? Well, He manifests Himself. How else can we know? He manifests Himself. And by that we know when God is around. And when God does manifest His presence, we go away and in some words or the other, we either think it or say it, That was divine. That was great. That was glorious just to be there at camp meeting, just to be there in the revival service, just to be there Sunday morning. It was divine. It was glorious because God was in it. So it means divine. But three is also called the divine number because it's mentioned in connection with holy things. The Trinity, for instance. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And on that morning, when Jesus showed himself, everything there was made holy. And it was made so by his presence. Well, that makes things holy, doesn't it? Whoever thought a motel room could be holy? Huh? But when the Lord shows up, it becomes holy. We erect a building and build a church house, offer it to God. But really what we're wanting is for God to show up, because if anything sanctifies it, that does. Oh, yes, that's what really sets it apart. Might as well be a Masonic lodge if God is not in it. But God sanctifies it. That makes it holy. I'm standing here tonight looking at some holy people, not because we're that good. No. Not because we don't fail, not because we don't have sin, but because one day the Holy Ghost moved in, and brother, his presence makes you holy. And if we want the houses of God holy, we're going to have to invite him in to manifest himself and move upon our hearts and upon our lives, because that will make things holy for sure. And his manifest presence does that in our lives and in our churches. And then thirdly, the number three suggests completeness. When God manifests himself, we then go home feeling like the service was complete. Huh? That's what our hearts really, if we tell the truth, are hungering for this day and hour. How many services we go to and that something was lacking. And we might have studied and wondered over what it was, when the truth is we just needed the Lord to manifest himself. In whatever way he wanted to do it, like I said, reproof, rebuke, or exhortation, lifting us up, however he wanted to do it. But we needed that manifestation. And boy, aren't services dry. And I will admit this, whether any other preacher will or not, some of my services at church are dry. That main ingredient is lacking, the Holy Ghost manifesting himself. Well, I'll tell you one thing, when he does show up, when that breeze does blow in from the other world, I feel like it's complete then. And you know, sometimes he does that before I preach, and I don't even preach because the big preacher was there. I mean, unto God, what can I add to that? What can I add to that? Somehow or another, the Holy Ghost signifies and says, listen, it's over. It's over. The service is complete. No use me getting up there showing my ignorance after that. No use me trying to add to what God has done. Oh, that all preachers would learn that. I'll just get out of the way. Let God be God. Let him do what he wants to do. And when God is finished, dismiss the thing and go to the house. Amen. That's just old-fashioned preaching. It suggests completeness, and also we need the manifestations of Christ to complete us, that is, mature us. I believe you can have all your theology down pat. I believe you can memorize every verse of this Bible and quote it in your sleep. But I want to tell you something. I still believe you need the Lord to manifest himself every now and then to you, just to grow you off right. Amen. Amen. I ain't a fussing at anybody. You might be here tonight and in some old cold dead church, but aren't you glad God let you be here tonight? Because you need it to grow you off just right. Now, I'm not kicking those men that pastor those big metropolitan churches. Some of those are God's men, and I know that if you was to shout in their church, the ushers would invite you out. But I want to tell you something. We need the Lord if he's not going to do it in the church. We need it in our heart, in our life. How to grow us up for the glory of God. I don't believe you can be all you should be unless you know something about God manifesting himself unto your heart and unto your life. Oh, one other thing. The number three suggests resurrection. Amen. On the third morn. When Jesus is around, hopes are resurrected. Commissions are resurrected.
joy is resurrected, as well as peace and a host of other things. Yeah, you've been to church, as we said a while ago, just dragging. And you experienced a resurrection that morning, didn't you? Oh, he resurrected the spirit within you. And I was one of those born on Blue Monday. I'm not naturally joyful. There are some people just exuberant all the time. I mean, it takes a whole lot to get some people down. I'm not that way. It doesn't take much at all to get me down and out of spirit and this and that. The Lord spent a lot of grace on me. I'm glad His grace is infinite, because He sure has spent a lot of it on me. But I have gone to church, you know, just drooping, and experienced a resurrection that morning. The Lord manifested Himself, lifted my hopes, restored my joy. There have been preacher boys that have been ready to throw in the towel and give up. Gone out to Camp Zion or some camp meeting or just went into church that morning. Jesus manifested Himself and, brother, renewed their commission in their heart. Gone in ready to quit, come out ready to fight the devil or whatever it took. Oh, yes, that's what His presence will do. That's why we need to plead with God in this day and in this hour, that God would move. Let us pray. Let us obey. Let us expect. Let us long for it. And whatever is necessary, that we may have the manifest presence of the Savior. You know, I don't know what God has in store for tomorrow. And I don't know what He has in store for tomorrow night if He leaves us here and lets us come together. But it very well could make a great difference if His children would get down to business tomorrow praying for His manifest presence tomorrow night. You say, but preacher, He has been manifesting Himself. I know that. But I want to tell you something. What we've experienced, and it's good and it's great, and we're not to despise the day of small things. But I tell you, God's such a, He's even greater God. He's able to do even greater things. I think we have a little bit of Him today and get satisfied. Let's pray that tomorrow night, if it would please Him, if it would be according to His will, and I believe it is according to His will, that He'd just move and make His glory known, amen, in a great way here tomorrow night. And if that fails to materialize, you be praying on this Lord's Day that God will just fill your preacher and through the preaching, and that He'll just bless the choir. And through the singing of the choir, God will just make Himself known. Amen. We need it. But even more than that, our young people dearly need to be where God makes Himself known. Amen, brother.